Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. The prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. This coming Monday, November the 11th, is Veterans Day. And I'm so thankful for the men and the women who gave their lives that we might have this wonderful country. Say what you want to say about America. It's still the best place in all the world to live. And I'm thankful for those who are willing to serve and many who gave the supreme sacrifice so that we might live in this land called America. So thanks so much for listening today, and I hope the program will be a blessing to you as we continue our message, Thanksgiving Through the Lens of Disappointment. And I would ask you to pray for me as I am involved in revival meetings this weekend and the rest of the month of November. This weekend, I'm in Gold Hill, North Carolina, at the Wesleyan Church. That's November 8, 9, and 10. And then November 17 to 20, I'll travel to Louisiana, to Florin, Louisiana, to the Sincree Church of the Nazarene. And then the final Sunday of the month of November, I'll be in Bellefontaine, Ohio, at the First Church of God, a place where we go annually. It's always a joy to go and be with these wonderful people. And I do covet your prayers as we're involved in these revival meetings. I would also like to ask you to pray about, think about, supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance as we are and have always been a listener-supported, faith-based radio ministry. We're on a network of approximately 13 stations, if you count the simulcast, that go out over the state of Indiana and in the state of Kentucky. And we're grateful for those who are reached by this radio ministry. So I do covet your prayers for the radio stations as well as this program as it airs weekly to countless thousands, maybe millions of people. We're grateful for the outreach. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for our listening audience, and I pray that you would bless them today as they listen to the continuation of this message as we prepare for Thanksgiving. We love you today, and we thank you for all you mean to us, all you've done for us. We're so grateful. I pray that you would continue to supply the need for Lohman Ministries and the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. You've always done that, and I'm grateful. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer today. It's your name that we ask and pray it all. Amen. Don't forget to write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. I'll appreciate it so very, very much.
Is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. If we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, the Lord of hosts, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled,
come from an incredible spiritual heritage. My dad was an evangelist. He and my mother were born in 1917 and they died the same year, 2000. My mother was an incredible prayer warrior. I was pastoring in Nashville, Tennessee during the decade of the 80s, and I received word of my mother's illness. My dad had taken my mother to the doctor. They'd put her in the hospital and they'd done a battery of tests on my mother. And the doctor came back to the doctor and said to my dad, Reverend Lohman, your wife has an incurable disease. We cannot do anything for her. She is going to die. So rather than her just staying here in the hospital, we're going to send her home with you. We'll give you instruction on how to care for your wife, but she's going to die. Let her be in her familiar surroundings as she goes through the process of dying. And so my dad took my mother home, called my sister in to assist with the care of my mother. My mother was losing life little by little. She was cognizant. You could talk to mom, but she could not take any food. Life was ebbing from her. And my dad walked into my mom's bedroom this particular day and said, Elizabeth, I'm scheduled to be in a revival meeting in Cartersville, Georgia. Starting this next Sunday, I'm going to call them and tell them I'm not coming. I don't want to leave you at this time. And she said, no, Harold, don't do that. He said, I'll call them. Tell them to get another preacher or maybe we'll postpone the meeting. And she said, no, Harold, don't do that. She said, because somebody might get saved in that revival that wouldn't have gotten saved had you not gone. And so my father said that one of the hardest things he'd ever done was to get in his car early that Sunday morning, kiss my mom goodbye, thinking that would be the last time he would see her alive. And Dad said, I pulled out on Interstate 85 out of Salisbury, North Carolina, headed south toward Atlanta, Georgia. And he said, as I drove toward Atlanta, Georgia, I prayed by the mile. And he said, about daybreak, I got to the border of South Carolina and Georgia, pulled in, got some gas, went on into Atlanta, picked up Highway 41 on the north side, and drove into Cartersville, Georgia in time for the revival service. And he said, I was expecting to have a message waiting me that mom, his wife, had passed away while he was making the trip. But no such was waiting him. He said, so I preached the first sermon of that revival meeting and immediately went into the pastor's office after the service was over, picked up his telephone, and I dialed the number, our home number, 704-636-1957. He said, to my utter amazement, my mom, his wife, answered the phone. Good morning, Lohmans. And my dad said, Elizabeth, is that you? Yes, Harold. There was strength in her voice. He said, what happened? She said, it happened about daybreak this morning. There was this giant white canopy that came into my room and settled over my bed. And God was there. His presence was so real. She said, I just lie there and enjoyed his presence. Reveled in his presence. And then she said, after a time, that canopy just went away. And she said, when it went away, all the sickness left my body. All of the energy that I had lost returned. And she said, I got out of bed and fixed breakfast for me and Janice today. She said, we've already been to church and we're going back to church tonight. It's a genuine, bona fide, unmistakable miracle from the hand of God. I told that story in a church in DeLand, Florida, a few years ago. And after I'd finished preaching this particular night, we were taking testimonies from the congregation. And the pastor was about to dismiss the congregation. And there's a lady in the back. She said, wait a minute, Pastor, I've got something I want to say. It pertains to that story Lane told about his dad and his mother, and he took the microphone to her, and she began to talk, and she said, "Lane, you didn't know this, but I used to live in Cartersville, Georgia." And that revival your dad held, my husband got saved in that revival. And he's with Jesus today because of that meeting. God is still God in the midst of our circumstances. Now just fast forward to the year 2000. It's a Wednesday night. My brother and sister-in-law live just down the road from Dad and Mom's place. Dad had already gone home to be with the Lord. Mother's living alone and doing very well. And so my sister-in-law comes in on this Wednesday night to tell my mother that she's there to drive her to church. And she finds my mother sitting in a chair there at the little desk between the dining room and the den. And mother's fully clothed, seemingly ready to go to church. But she looks up at her daughter-in-law. When Donna says, "Ms. Loman, I've come to drive you to church," mother says, "Donna, I don't know what to do next." "Well, just go down to your room, Ms. Loman, and get your shoes on." Mother didn't have her shoes on. Mother didn't come back. Donna went down the hallway, found mother sitting on the side of her bed. And mother looked at Donna and said, "Donna, I don't know what to do next." Something was wrong with Mom. She was taken to the doctor by my younger brother, Leslie, and his wife, Donna. We lived in Greensboro, North Carolina at the time, and we were called, and we went to the hospital where they had admitted my mother, and there, standing at the foot of her bed, was a handsome young doctor. I said, "Doc, what's wrong with my mom?" He said, "She has ischemic brain disease." I said, "What's that?" "It's the narrowing of the arteries that lead to cognitive reasoning. When those arteries constrict, your mother goes away. We don't know where she goes, she just goes away. And when they open up, your mother's your mother." I said, "Can you fix my mom?" He said, "No. No. I watched her. I remember the last time she recognized me. My sister stepped forward and said, 'I want to take care of my mother.' And we moved Mom into my sister's home in Burlington, North Carolina. And Sis and her husband Max in hospice took care of my mom. We would go down periodically, and I'd see my mom just shrink, shrivel into a fetal position. And I remember walking into that room where she was being kept, kissing my mom on the forehead, and I said, 'Mom, I love you. I'll see you again.' Within a matter of hours, my mom was with the Jesus she loved so much. He didn't change her circumstance that time. But he gave grace. He gave sustaining grace for her sons and daughter and family members. He gave my mother dying grace. You see, God is still God in the midst of life's circumstances. He meets me at different points of my life, different needs in my life with different degrees of grace and truth. And sometimes, I repeat, he parts the water. Sometimes he doesn't. He just gives grace to sustain us. Quickly now, fast forward to the book of Ruth. You know the story? Four chapters long. Let me give you a brief synopsis. Naomi and her husband and two sons lived in Bethlehem, Judah. Famine comes to their town. They decide to go where the famine isn't. They make their way to Moab. And while there, her two sons take two Moabite women as their wives. And then her husband dies. And then her two sons die. Talk about disappointment. She was looking forward to grandchildren. And then the famine that was in Bethlehem, Judah, follows her to Moab. And one day, she says, "Why stay here? She tries to get her two Moabite daughter-in-laws to stay there. Go back to your own people. Find men there to be your husbands. I'm too old to have sons again. It was the culture. You have the sons. They grow up. They marry the widows of the two previous sons. That was just the culture. And she said, I'm too old to do that. You just go back. And Orpah, she says, okay, that's what I'll do. But you remember the words of Ruth, don't you? Entreat me not to leave you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And so Naomi returns to Bethlehem, Judah, with this Moabite daughter-in-law stuck to her like a wad of gum to a sandal. She just will not let go. She's there. And when she arrives, the women of the town, they look. They see them walk through the city gate. Can this be Naomi? Do you know what Naomi means? In the Hebrew, full, blessed, content. Could this be Naomi? Full, blessed, content, Naomi? And what does Naomi respond to? How does she respond? Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Recognize the word? It's the same word you'll find in Exodus 15. Call me bitter. There's no question that this is one bitter woman. She is angry. Not just angry, but she is angry with God. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. But at that moment, she did not realize what God was about to do in her life. Thankfulness through the lens of disappointment. In our times of disappointment, God may be doing more than we realize at the moment. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. It's a beautiful story of redemption. There's a man that's going to be the wife of Ruth. His name is Boaz. He is also called the kinsman redeemer. Naomi was at her end, she thought. There was no reason to live. The end of her life had come for her because her husband was dead. Her sons were dead. She has this Moabite daughter-in-law. Don't know what to do with her, but she's here nonetheless. Nothing to be happy about. Nothing to live for. And I think one of the great temptations for people like you and me is that when we go through a time of disappointment, it's to think, this is it. This is the end. No reason to live. Why go on? But may I say to you this morning from personal experience, with God, the end of anything can be the beginning of something even better. When a situation, a job, death, anything comes to a resounding crash, the door slams, the window falls shut, and you say, I am nothing, I'm empty, there's no reason to live, I can't go on, I'm tired of getting up in the morning to face another day. God wants to say, this is not the end. This is not the end for you. This can be the beginning of a better day.
Receive your love, O Lord.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fosteria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.